You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And a very good morning to you. Thanks for listening to All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Happy Inauguration Day to everybody out there. And I saw a tweet a little bit ago by one of our sponsors, Dave Grant, who runs Military by Owner. And I retweeted it, which I don't know that I've ever done before. But I retweeted what he wrote. And I guess today, one of the things that if you've served the country, and in particular, I think if you've ever fought for it, we know how lucky we are to be born Americans. And, you know, we've been around the world. We've seen, you know, good countries. We've seen bad countries, and we've been in terrible countries. And I think that we all have to acknowledge that we won the Ovarian lottery to be born American. And so days like today are the days that we celebrate, I think, what it is to be American. The 4th of July, I think, the same way. There's certain days of the year that we put aside other nonsense that goes on in our country. And we celebrate what it is to be American. And I think Inauguration Day is one of them. We are the beacon in the world in terms of the way we govern and the way we transfer power. And there's never been an experiment like this on the planet that didn't involve a monarchy in some way, shape, or form. Well, America has never been that way. And we are, it's interesting when you do go around the world and how curious people are about America and how Americans do things and the crazy ways that we do things. But today, you know, especially if you've seen the sacrifice that goes into the making of today, it's kind of a solemn, holy day in which, you know, we Americans celebrate what it is to truly be American, part of a great democracy that transfers power this way. So Dave Grand, retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel, he put up a picture of the mall, and I don't know whose inauguration it was. It was probably President Obama's. But it's a shot from way back on the mall, and just you know, the flags being waved, and then the Capitol in the background, and you can see everybody assembled on the steps of the Capitol. And the tweet says, "Behold the peaceful transfer of power." Hashtag inauguration, hashtag democracy. So I mean, ours is a cool country. And as much as we may fight about it and not agree on policy, and as much as there may be a disconnect between the great cities of the coast and the inner part of the nation, today is a day that I think you look at the long line of history and some of the storylines, why certain things happened today and when they started. You know, the president's ride together to the inauguration was something that got started in 1837. 1837. Andrew Jackson and Martin Van Buren or something like that rode together after a very, very contentious election as a sign of putting things aside and putting the nation first. So today is I think a very cool day. Past presidents will be there. Bill Clinton, George Bush Sr. in the hospital right now, along with his wife, and he's 92, has pneumonia. Normally that's fatal, but his medical report said yesterday that he was doing better. So anyway, I just think as somebody who's who served the nation. My two sons are serving the nation. Today it's not a political day. Today's an American day. And it's a day when I think we reflect on the greatest experiment in democracy on the planet. What we mean to the planet and that we peacefully transition power on a regular basis. So anyway, so with that in mind, Whitney Houston will, it's Friday, so Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. So good morning to everybody. Hope you have a great day. And again, it's a day we celebrate on what it is to be the diverse melting pot that this nation still is. Okay, and whenever you see, you know, whenever you see pictures of the country, you know, virtually everybody's represented. So it's unique; doesn't happen everywhere on the planet. So with that in mind, here she is. If you remember that, that was all right. My, she's now 13. And you know what? It's just cool little things. Where do we learn about governance and things like that? We tend to learn it in school. Colleen was 6 when she sang this. She's getting ready right now to go be part of her student government at her middle school. And as she participates in the leadership of her middle school, and learns how to get involved. So from 6 years old to 13, getting ready to go to get ready to help set up for a dance and work there. This is my youngest daughter.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains, to the prairies, to the oceans, wave us home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Done, Dad.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
You know, some days I struggle about whether he meant that. Today I know that he meant it. Alright. Take a quick look at the weather. As we continue here on Inauguration Day, the 20th day of January, 2017. weather's kind of got better across the country. So in the Quantico, D.C. area, cloudy and 42, so a pretty nice winter day. Camp Lejeune, cloudy and 58. In Granbury, Texas, cloudy and 58. Up in North Dakota, heat wave. Morning fog, 35 degrees. 29 Palms, cloudy and 45. Camp Pendleton, raining and 52. Camp Smith in Hawaii, typical 72 degrees. Under cloudy skies. And it's dark. Okinawa, 58. Cloudy and dark. Fallujah, 57. Cloudy and dark. And at the home of All Marine Radio, 53 degrees. Headed for a high of only 59. And it's raining. So that's a check of your weather. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to kind of weave in and out of a little bit of a inauguration coverage. So you're going to hear certainly the speech of the President of the United States, possibly a swearing in, as long as I can make sure we do it. So, but it's Friday. We're going to talk to my boy Kim Holmes about cooking and. So we'll talk to Kim. We were talking earlier in the week, so I think we're going to talk about jumbo shrimp, if I'm not mistaken, jumbo shrimp with filet mignon. So you will hear from him, and that is coming up next as we continue on a Friday when we change presidents. So as I said, you know, not to get too overboard with all of this, but we get caught up sometimes in the shrill dialogue that gets made even more shrill by the by our nation's media. And I would tell you specifically the two leading cable news networks, Fox and CNN. I mean, they scream it. And I don't know that that specifically does the nation any good, but on a day like today, you really do need to take a deep breath and look around and say, you know what? We are the United States of America. We are home to the most diverse population on the world in any way you get your Vegematic out and slice it and dice it. And on days like today, we have to take stock as a nation and kind of take a deep breath and we transition our presidency and we celebrate what a great democracy we are. And we rededicate ourselves to, you know, our national purpose, and which means we have a lot of work to do. So, but just remember, I mean, we are the United States of America. There is no close second out there. There is no close second out there. And I say that having gone around the world, even with all of our warts, we're a great nation. And so we celebrate that today. So with that said, that paid political announcement or non-political announcement brought to you by nobody but me, we'll take a quick break. Kim Holmes is going to join us next on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available, and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Seven 18 here on a, I almost said Monday, on a Friday. I'm joined by my hetero life partner, Kim Holmes. Kim, good morning. How are you?
Just great. Good morning, Mac. Good morning, Marines everywhere.
There you go. Yeah, you know, the hey, you know, Kim, you've been around alive long enough. What's the first inauguration you remember?
Probably Eisenhower.
Come on.
Yeah, I was just a kid.
And you, so you were born, Eisenhower elected in 56?
I was born in 44. I think I was, he got, he was in 50, right?
Right.
Yeah. And, but.
No, true, no, because, no, it wouldn't have been until 52 or 56. Let me look it up.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Because
that's what it was.
Because Truman relieved Eisenhower in Korea, relative to Korea, and that was 52 or 53.
Well, right. Yeah, Truman, yeah, Truman was in the early 50s,
right.
And then Eisenhower came in.
He was elected in November of 1952, so
yeah,
inaugurated in 1953. So that's,
yeah.
That's,
and I think that's the first one I saw on TV.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
how the nation changed, right? That we watched that.
And I remember Kennedy's inauguration.
Yeah, that was a bit...
And I've pretty much seen him ever since that. Always interesting, very cool the way that everybody behaves, and the transition of power from one party to the next.
All right, one administration. Here's John Kennedy's famous line from his inauguration.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
He had serious game.
That man had unbelievable game.
He could give a speech.
And he was a man of the people for sure.
I don't know about that. He was a pretty rich dude and lived a pretty rich life. The Kennedys, man.
But with him and his brother, the AG, Johnson got it done.
Kennedy?
Johnson got everything done. But Johnson, when he was in this Congress and the Senate, nobody said no to him.
Well, he was a bone cracker, man.
Yeah, he was. He was great. But what he did for this country after Kennedy was assassinated was pretty remarkable. And all the legislation that got passed and for unifying this country, it was the civil rights and stuff. Pretty remarkable time to be hanging out in this country. It was a sad day for me on
Okay, we're not going to talk. We're not going to talk about that.
It's very cool that I'm anxious to hear, and I won't be on the air, but I'm going to be watching.
Right.
Listening to what President Trump has to say and his inauguration speech.
Right.
That's going to be fascinating. I'm pretty confident that he's going to say the right stuff.
I don't think it's too hard today to say the right stuff. As somebody who's fought for the country, and Kim, you've traveled a bit, you've been to some good countries and some not so good countries, and we get caught up in our own hysteria at times, but today is a day when you take a deep breath and you look around and say, you know what? And your life is quintessentially American, man. You're roaming around doing your thing, being whatever you want to be. And going from, Hagerstown and Cincinnati to out to California to Palo Alto, and then living the dream in the 60s, to Europe and becoming a chef, and then to the Great Northwest, and then to the North Central Plains. I mean, you've lived a life of doing your thing. And you can't do that everywhere in the world. You can't.
And that's why we're so blessed to be in this country.
Right.
We are a nation of immigrants.
Right.
That's not rocket science. That's who we are.
Yeah.
But for us to have the ability to travel and see cultures, and when you travel like we do and you see different cultures, you get such an appreciation for our country and how great we have it here. Because even in some of the European countries, they're a little bit wound up. And
they're a little uptight.
You think? Yeah. And for a nation, we're pretty freaking laid back. But, you know, we demand that we function as a country, and to the most part, we do.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, the to me, it's when you grow up American, you know, you kind of look at the rest of the world, and you go, and you think everybody's like us, right? I mean, so then, then you get on a plane and you go someplace, and they're not as accepting. And you're looking around going like, well, what do you mean they can't come in here? Or wait, what just happened? The whole vibe just changed here when we walked in. And you're going, wow, it's hard for me to believe. And so, the first place I really experienced that was in the Orient. And you know what I mean? And so the Orient, you know, one of these days we'll go through the 60s. You know, and then hopefully they'll get through the 70s, and then we'll bring them into. But I mean, look, for instance, Japan, it's an island nation. They are Japanese on that island. They don't dig the whole multicultural thing. Like, they look at America and they go, okay, but when it comes to them face to face, they're not good with it. And the Koreans, you know, for the most part, and I'm not saying they're ignorant people. This is just their culture. They're Koreans, man. That's a Korean culture. And like they're okay if we're over there, but when we come over here, they're like, yeah, we're not cool with this. And so you begin to notice it and you're like, wow. Wow, they didn't like, you know, they didn't like our Hispanics, they didn't like our Blacks. They weren't comfortable with it. And then they left, and you're like, what just happened? And then you sit and you think about it, and you're like, you know, we are still, I mean, the melting pot of the planet. But again, when you're an American, you don't notice it because it tends to be the way you grow up.
But that's the whole point, though, of why, if you've not traveled and experience different cultures like you have and I have with Asia, with the Middle East, when I went to Morocco and Africa and
hello.
And you come home and you understand better. You have experienced these cultures and you can have empathy and understanding of where they're coming from. But when you sit here and you don't travel outside the country, not that it's a bad thing, but your appreciation level is a little different than when you travel.
Right. Without a doubt. And again, I agree with you. It's not that it's a, it's not that it's a bad thing, but
no.
It kind of is. get out there and travel a little bit. First of all, you'll have a good time. But second of all, you'll come to appreciate other countries for what they are. And I think when you come home to the United States, you come home always thinking, man, I love this place. I love this place.
And you know, Mac, when you travel and no matter where in the world you go and you meet the people that make up a country, and how gracious they are toward you, and how inquisitive they are about America, and how important it is that you have an exchange with them, and understand and appreciate their cultures, and it's the people that screw up are the government, not the people themselves. The whether it's a dictatorship or a democracy or a, whatever it is, but when you meet the people themselves, then you go, oh, okay, these are pretty nice people, and they treat me great. I know when I was in Morocco, boy, it was a very eye-opening experience for me. But, man, did I was a sponge soaking that culture up. And the further into Morocco towards the Sahara Desert we went, the further back in time we went, to where it was just a few Volkswagen microbuses, some Citroen Duchevaux, and a lot of camels and donkeys. and it was so cool.
Yeah, no, it is interesting and it is cool as we get going. The let's see. So somebody just sent me an email. Hey Mac, what's the timeline for the inauguration? I believe he takes his oath of office in about 15 minutes.
High noon,
I believe, and then I thought it was. I thought that was at 11, and then.
3 minutes.
Oh, 11:27, Beth said, and it takes 3 minutes.
And then he gives a speech, I want to say, so.
I thought it was
10:30. So anyway, we'll carry that live here. And Kim, we got to take a break, and then we'll come back, and I want to talk about jumbo shrimp a little bit, and I want to talk about steak. About what we're going to talk about, filet, cooking filet.
Not only going to talk about a filet, I'm going to talk to you about a peppercorn filet and how to do filets a couple of other ways with sauces.
Okay. Email. Mac, have you ever seen an inauguration? Has Kim ever seen an inauguration? I have not. I've never attended one in person. Those are pretty gigantic events. I was stationed in Quantico for 3.5 years, so I don't know how many. So I'd have been there for at least three, but you know we were probably working on most of those days. The one thing I did see, and I will tell you, and today's a little bit like that, is I did see, and it's only happened 4 times in American history. But when we fight a war and we win the war, we have what's called a victory parade.
Yep.
And it happened after the Civil War, World War I, World War II, and after Desert Storm. So my ex-wife and I, Susan, we took our two kids. Patrick was just a baby in a stroller, and John was probably 2 or 3. And we went up to the mall to watch the victory parade. And much like today, when the nation rolls out its pageantry in terms of the military units at march and the bands at march and all of it, it's pretty cool. I remember standing there. If you were standing on the steps where Martin Luther King made his famous speech, looking down the mall, we were to the left of that and across, I think it's Constitution or Pennsylvania, whatever street that is, it runs down the left-hand side of the mall as you're looking at the Capitol. We were right kind of at that turn, and I'll never forget the sight of American flags coming down the street, curb to curb, one right next to the other, you know, Marines carrying them, marching in perfect order so that they would go up and down in sync. And I just remember watching it and then seeing the units come by and just how cool it was. So to me, since I was a little kid, I loved watching when America rolls out its pageantry. And I'll tell you what, I saw it one other time, and that was kind of interesting. It was when I was a lieutenant stationed at the basic school in Quantico. So I was going to school. And my buddies and I, one of them was killed in Desert Storm, actually, Gary Scott Dillon from New Hampshire. And anyway, he was a funny dude. But anyway, they interred the unknown from Vietnam in 1984. And it was hard because our forensics had gotten so much better. We didn't have DNA yet. But they had not found a set of remains that they couldn't identify, and so they did, and so they had the national funeral, and it was the same funeral that they held for Lincoln and President Kennedy, with the horse with the riderless horse and all of that, and so we were on the bridge that goes from behind the Lincoln Memorial over to Arlington. And wow, to see the pageantry of the nation go by. And then President Reagan spoke at Arlington Cemetery that day. And it was the two times that I've seen in my life the full pageantry of the nation. And it was very cool, very cool. So, so anyway. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More of Almarine Radio on a Friday that we celebrate really the history of our nation, the history of our democracy. We'll talk about jumbo shrimp and play coming up next on Almarine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of Almarine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good. Past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Life in the military is one of service and sacrifice. For some, that sacrifice includes physical and mental injuries or trauma that will affect their lives forever. Please join with the American Legion in recognizing and supporting our wounded warriors and their families. We need to show them that we truly are a grateful nation. We cannot allow them to be forgotten and left to fend for themselves.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit CareerOneStop.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Yeah. That's...
Hey,
that's his introduction. How about that?
That's great.
You better have game after that, man. That's all I got to say.
Yep.
Hey, when you watch the inauguration, the parade, is there any group that you like to watch in the parade more than any other?
Not really. I just think the whole pageantry of the day is just pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
There's just so much going on.
You know what I always like? You know the old guard, their army dudes?
Yeah.
And they have this, like, drum and fife band, and they wear Revolutionary War costumes. And they do this kind of march where they step, and it's almost like they pause in mid-step and put their foot down, step and pause. In fact, it's funny. Since I was a kid, I've loved, like, military music, and my grandfather used to love bagpipes.
Yeah, I bet he did.
So, on my mom's side, John Vivian Forden, he was a mean son of a bitch. John Vivian. And, oh, yeah, he ran marathons and he rode in, like, the 20s, right? When nobody did that. And so he loved bagpipes. So I would go to my grandmother's to spend the weekend, and I'd say, will you put the bagpipe music on? And what I loved the most was I loved the commands that they would give. And then they'd crank up the bagpipes. And I sit there and listen. I have those albums right now in my garage. She gave those to me.
No kidding.
Yes, towards the end of her life, she said, I want you to have it because you used to sit by the speaker.
Did you ever put them on?
Well, I know. Who the hell has a record player anymore? I still have them. I mean, you know what? They're the old...
Vinyl's coming back, Matt.
Let me tell you. I have a bunch of them. They're all sitting out in my garage. You know, they're things like the Black Watch.
Yeah.
But, you know, my favorite, obviously, is the Marine Corps has got a band and our drill team from 8 to 9 that you see in commercials, and they're obviously my favorite. But I love all the military bands and stuff like that. And I have it not because I served in the Marine Corps, but I loved it since I was a little kid. I used to watch that stuff and be a little doofus about it. I just wondered if you had anything that in that parade and you know what's blazed in my mind, and I kind of alluded to it earlier, was you know, as one of my first memories, honestly, is John Kennedy's funeral. And the reason I remember it is because my mom was crying, right? And so and when you're a little kid and your mom cries, at least when Kathleen cried, that did not happen every day. So, I mean, I was 5. That got my attention. And she and I was in kindergarten, and she and I were watching it on the black and white TV in Sacramento. And she was sitting on the couch in a dress, and she had a box of Kleenex. And I just remember I really didn't know what was going on, but I knew something was really wrong. You know, I knew something really bad had happened. And so one of my first memories from a similar parade, and that horse with what, with the riderless horse with the boots in backwards, right?
backward, yeah.
Right. You know, I've never forgotten that.
That was a devastating funeral. Boy, it was so vivid.
Oh, man. Just, and you know who put that all together was his wife. She said she wanted... studied Lincoln's funeral, and she said, that's what we're going to do. And they, you know, the... His body could have been born on a hearse, but it was born on an artillery caisson, like Lincoln's was, and wow. But my point is, you know, the pageantry of the nation, I think, is really, really cool. The other place, if you've never been to D.C., get that on your bucket list and go, because there's so much to see. And it's so cool to go to the Smithsonian Museums and see all of it, to see Lindbergh's plane hanging from the rafters, to see the flag from Fort Sumter.
Yeah.
The flag, oh, say, can you see, right? That Star Spangled Banner. That banner is like you walk around the corner and there it is, and you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, the Smithsonian... If you don't go in your lifetime and see all of the Smithsonian, it takes days.
It takes you a couple of weeks if you were gonna. And you know what? And Kim's right. The way to do it is if you can, if you know somebody and you can hang out at their place for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks is a long time. Maybe two different people for a few days. All right. The better part of a week before they get tired of you and want you to get the hell out. But. If you can swing that, you know, to go in the morning and hang out and then to go have lunch and go in the afternoon and then, you know, go do something in the evening, it's incredible. The stuff that is on display there is relative to American history will just blow your vacuum tube. Blow your vacuum.
You know, I went to hotel restaurant school in D.C. And so I was there... And I worked there for a little over a year after I got out of school. So I was there for about a year and a half. And from the beginning of 68 until 69. And I tell you, it's just, somebody told me once that there's more marble in D.C. than there is in Rome. So, yeah, I don't know that that's true, but that's what I heard. And when you walk around D.C. and you drive up Embassy Row and you see cultures from all over the world because the world comes here. The laws are made here. Everybody in the world, except for maybe North Korea, has an embassy here, and so it's pretty phenomenal.
When you go to D.C., is there a place that you like to go? Is there something you like to see more than others?
Well, I personally the last time I was in D.C. The very first place I went was the Vietnam War Memorial.
Yeah, that's pretty.
And I went to see friends of mine. It's emotional.
Yeah. No, and I'll tell you, if you go.
Anybody that goes to that, whether they were in Vietnam or not, but has somebody up on that wall, and touches their name or stencils their name on a piece of paper, that doesn't cry.
Oh. No, let me tell you, if you've never been, again, that is probably one of the most emotional things you go to. And I'll tell you what, I wasn't expecting it when I went the first time. I'd read so much about it, and then I go back to go to officer candidate school, and then we took our physicals
on I had an aviation contract, so you had to be there the weekend, the week before, to take flight physicals, and then you had the weekend off, and then you reported on Monday to start officer candidate school. So that weekend, I went up to D.C., and
yeah.
I remember going there, and I'm going to go see, you know, the Vietnam veteran, you know, the Vietnam Memorial. Now, when it was built, it was very controversial.
Because the Chinese American
well,
was her design.
No, it was, I thought she was Vietnamese.
What?
I thought she was Vietnamese. But anyway.
Yeah, she was Asian. I'm sorry. She was Asian. Yes. That's right. That's why that was so intense.
Well, but also there was Vietnam veterans that they were tired of what they felt was being used as a protest symbol. They wanted their valor to be recognized like the valor of guys in World War II, like the valor of, because they said that, hey, we fought just as hard. We don't want our memorial to be a sign of a protest. Okay?
Yeah.
And so there was controversy surrounding it. So going there, I was like, wow. Wow. And
its placement, where it is powerful.
Yeah, so you stand on those steps of the Lincoln Memorial and you look off to the left. And so I would tell you, if you go there at night, the first time, it's 'cause it's absolutely, it'll take your breath away.
Yeah.
And all the
Lincoln, the Jefferson memorials and
beautiful.
To walk the steps and just the magnitude of it, it's just so moving. And the way that from the Capitol and all the way down to the Memorial, Lincoln Memorial at the opposite end by the Potomac, and then there's the Washington Monument there. And it's just a straight line, and oh God, it's and if you could ever do that, folks, during cherry blossom time, you will think you're in a different world. The town's magic.
We went to when Patrick graduated from officer candidate school. For whatever reason, Catherine said, "Hey, the cherry blossoms are blooming." So we, and I want to say it was March, maybe April. No, it was April, but it had been cold in D.C., so they bloomed late. But we went up there. We went up to the mall to go get a picture, a family picture taken in front of the cherry blossoms. We get there, there's nothing. There's nothing on the trees. So do you think that's going to stop us, though, from taking the picture? No.
So hell no.
So we have a great family picture in front of bare cherry trees, which whenever it comes up, we all will look at Catherine and we start laughing like, yeah, I love those cherry blossoms. And but they're spectacular.
And that's coming from the cherry pie family.
Exactly. We love our cherries, man. We love our cherries. You know what? Let me correct myself. You were right. Maya Lin was born in Athens, Ohio. Her parents migrated to the United States from China in 1948, and her mother in 1949. Yeah. They settled in Ohio before she was born. But she is the architect. But if you go there at night, first of all, the Lincoln Memorial, spectacular at night. Okay, and you look across the mall to the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial off to your right, the Capitol off in the horizon, you know, at the end of the mall. Just
beautiful. Yes.
And then the White House off to your left through some trees. It's hard to see. And but if you look down to your left, you see this lit area, and it's the Vietnam Memorial. And honestly, it will take your breath away. And I wasn't prepared for it because I was going down there to check it out. So you start, and it takes you down and down and down. And all there are on this wall are names and names and names. And you keep going down and down and down and down. And there's just more and more names. And finally you get to the bottom. And your overwhelming thought is, oh my God, you know, what did we do? All these young men and women gave their life in Vietnam.
50,000 plus.
Yeah, 58,000. And why? And so you get to the bottom of it, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just this empty punch to the stomach that I felt, and I just remember being incredibly, incredibly moved. And then I remember walking out of it, and then at the top of it, between it and the Lincoln Memorial, is a second monument that is is three soldiers. And their uniforms are all Vietnam uniforms, and there's one in the middle with a machine gun, I think, and then somebody's got his arm around somebody else, but it's the other piece of that they wanted people to see, which was reflective of their valor, and so very 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 cool piece. I'm trying to think of when I go there. The other cool place that you could spend an entire day at, if you like to walk, is Arlington. Have you been there, Kim?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the Marine Memorial.
Yeah, that's pretty cool too.
Oh gosh, and the way it overlooks Washington.
Yeah, way cool.
On the hill across the Potomac, I'm telling you, just. The emotional factor of D.C., and you hit spots like that, and you walk in Arlington, and you walk around, and you see all the stones, and how meaningful, you know, how people, men and women, gave their lives for this country, and, you know, it's still going on.
You know what, and you know, some of the things that you reflect on today, on a day when we transition our government, and again, like, there's never been anybody that's done this, okay? Nobody has had this kind of a democratic nation that transfers peace like we do. And so, I mean, even when you go back to, you know, after 8 years, George Washington, they wanted him to stay. Right? But he said no. He said, we need to transfer power and I need to leave. And so you go back. I know I'm not supposed to do that live on the air, but it is what it is. You go back, I mean, these great, great institutions and traditions that we have are you know, come straight out of our history. And very cool. So very nice. So, huge day. Jimmy Carter just rolled in. Plains, Georgia. Remember the Carter family going to D.C.? What was his brother's name? Billy?
Yeah, Billy Beer. And I still have a can of Billy Beer.
No, you don't.
I wouldn't dare open it, but...
Come on.
It says Billy on it. Yeah, it was up by the front sill.
The Carter family, peanut farmers.
Yeah, peanut farmer, and he was a submarine guy from Annapolis.
Yeah, he was Naval Academy guy, nuclear weapon power guy, smart guy. Admitted in an interview in Playboy that he lusted after his own after women. Remember that?
I know, wasn't that great? He had lust in his heart.
Carried his own garment bag off Air Force One on occasion.
Yep.
Jimmy Carter.
He was a real down-to-earth. And the fact that he got involved in the Habitat for Humanities.
Yeah, no, he's continued.
And he's kicked cancer a couple of times.
Right.
And he'll be there, and he's got to be 90-something.
He's
pretty damn close.
He's there, and... President Clinton just
saw them.
Just showed up. I was talking to Kim before he came on the air, but on a personal note, it is very, very funny. I don't know how I should say this. Funny might not be the right word, but standing just over Bill Clinton's shoulder is a very good friend of mine. And then to his left is the Commandant of the Marine Corps, another very, very good friend of mine. And then in the cabinet, two guys who I know, you know, one, General Kelly, a very good friend of mine, and General Mattis, who's also a friend. So for me, this is, I look at it today, and it's just, wow, absolutely.
It's got to just be a real emotional, happy time.
Yeah, no, it's like, I know these guys. Like, let me tell you a quick story about Neller. Neller was my battalion commander. And I used to fight with him because he didn't take me to Somalia, and I was so pissed at him. I was absolutely furious. And because we didn't go to war that often, and we were going, and he said, no, I can't take you. I said, what? He said, no, you've been in this kind of unit before, which is a light armored reconnaissance unit. And he said, I need somebody that can stay here. I've got 80 vehicles. What's going to happen to them? I can't have them all go deadline. And I said, are you shitting me? He said, no, you're staying. And with that, I walked out of his office, and I walked into mine, and I slammed my door to knock it off its hinges. Well, what do you think happened? 5 seconds later, he comes to the door, and he yells at me. He goes, quit slamming my doors. And I yelled, God damn it. I said, I can't believe this. He said, knock it off. And I yelled at him. I said, all right, but I'm pissed. And he said, you can be pissed. He said, quit slamming my doors, right? And then he goes back into his office. Well, like, you can see people, like, sticking their heads out of the hallway. Like, what was that? But, you know, he's been a great friend of mine. When I've told the story about a helicopter that crashed into where my Marines were. And, you know, the pilot decapitated, co-pilot crushed to death, the crew chief and a kid who was just riding along with them, are fighting for their lives. We're trying to save them, and everybody dies. You know, it was him who came and a week later and to talk to me. And then when I, my friends contacted me to come back in the Marine Corps, when I was living up in Grand Forks doing radio, it was him that wrote the letter that got me back into the Marine Corps. And so he and I have been, and then he was the first guest on All Marine Radio. And so, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I worked with, every day, in Iraq when I got there and was working for General Mattis. And he's a Red Sox fan, and I hate him for it, but he's a good friend. And then General Kelly I worked for in 1990. His son was killed in Afghanistan when I was there. And I'd known him, that kid, since he was, you know, maybe 13 or 14. And John and Patrick went to his funeral at Arlington. And, you know, and so, I mean, those are the kind of relationships. So, you know, busting ball, funny, good relationships. And they're going to be close to the most powerful, you know, places in the country. So it's funny.
Quite frankly, Mac, I feel a sense of relief and comfort that they're there, because I know nothing's going to be done foolishly because of their presence and their sensitivity and sensibilities to what the heck's going on.
Right.
And if somebody needs explanations on stuff, they're going to get them from them. They're not yes men, and they know in their heart of hearts what's best for this country and how to deal with it. And so I think that this country is pretty blessed to have those cats in the positions they're in.
You know,
and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
No, well, you know what? They're great. They're great men. And again, they're not guys who just my friends. They've served this nation their entire lives, and they would burn in hell before they would take it in a place that it shouldn't go. And again, that's important to me because I have two sons that are on active duty. I don't want to see them. I don't want them to have to go fight and then walk see the fruits of their sacrifice, their Marine sacrifice. go for naught. And so, to me, these aren't easy decisions. But I will tell you this: if these guys are in the room, my feeling is that the country will head in the right direction because they're those kind of guys, and they're not going to let it go, in the wrong direction. They're those kind of guys. All right, so we're going to talk about food when we come back. I promise.
No problem.
But it's
no problem. I'm just enjoying the heck out of today. All the BS up to here is behind us, and now we're going forward.
Well, and it'll be in front of us. We'll get that going again. But again, like Kim and I were talking, right?
Sure.
But
for the first 100 days, he has got to have this country's all heart and soul trying to get him squared away.
You know what? His son, to me, the youngest one, seems like a shy guy, and it's a lot of glare in the Trump spotlight, in the presidential spotlight, in the Obama spotlight, and I kind of feel bad for his youngest son. It's like he doesn't look like he's very comfortable with it or enjoys it at all.
Is Barron?
Yeah,
the new one?
Yeah, the youngest son, and it certainly.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him and his mom.
Yeah, she
Trump's wife.
Yeah, although
I mean, I know she'll rise to the occasion. First ladies always do, but that's somebody I wish the best because that's a real serious job.
Right. Not an easy.
A lot of people don't understand.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. The inauguration happens. His oath happens in about 40 minutes, and so we'll come back talk a little. The crowd's assembling outside the Capitol.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. It's an awesome picture, by the way. It's an awesome.
Yeah.
It's an awesome picture. The Capitol. The other thing is the Capitol is absolutely one of the most beautiful things you could ever go see. There was a day when you could just kind of cruise in and out of it. Can't do that anymore. You have tours and things like that, but it's absolutely one of the most beautiful buildings in the country, and so you got to go see it. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. We'll continue to talk inauguration. We'll mix some food in there. The president is on his way to his seat. So they're shaking hands and things like that. And the president-elect obviously accompanying him and the inauguration day, a rainy day here in Southern California. But up where Kim is, it's downright summer. You're into the 30s already, Kim. How about that? Are you there?
What?
Never mind. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
Henry Sergeant Arlie Ermey here with important information for veterans. At 2,600 American job centers nationwide, veteran and transitioning military personnel can find help with career counseling, resumes, and job placement. You want more information, don't you? The Department of Labor offers a variety of programs to help our military heroes find good jobs or continue their education. What are you waiting for?
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You know, that's not the song I want to play. What the hell? I don't, that's not the song. It's supposed to be Love, Love, Love by the Beatles.
I'm a revolution. I don't think so.
No, that was not appropriate music for the day. Anyway, 8:12 here on the west coast of the United States. The inauguration gets going, and a lot of dignitaries on the mall in Washington. It's a decent day. Weather currently in the mid mid-40s, and as people assemble, but you'll notice the crowds not nearly what they were for President Obama's inauguration, which I think was historic. The first Black American ever to be elected as the President of the United States, and just a huge number of people.
That was 1.8 million people.
How about that? How about that?
You imagine that?
No, no, and you know, and again. Reflecting on, you know, on President Obama, and what it means to the nation that you know a Black man elected to be President of the United States, and you know, it's I know that we certainly civil rights in this country are not perfect, but I'll tell you what, that's a pretty huge statement when a nation. When a nation elects, and so it went. So anyway, he and Michelle Obama and their family have been great ambassadors for the nation. And I will tell you what specifically, Michelle Obama took up the cause of the families of military guys, especially guys who were away fighting, and then guys who came back home wounded. And or you know, families who had somebody killed.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, she and Joe Biden were you know, took up that cause and were very cool. So it goes. The pictures from Washington are cool for the nation, and that you have George Bush standing next to Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton standing on the other side. And, you know, you should have Jimmy Carter standing there and, just, You know, things the nation needs to see is that there are days when we can all come together and we can hang out. So, anyway, let's talk about, we're talking about jumbo shrimp and steak.
Yeah, what do you want to go first, shrimp or a peppercorn sauce or steak?
I don't care.
Well,
let's do shrimp. I'm a shrimp guy, so let's do shrimp first.
Oh, good. Yeah. And the shrimp now, folks, it comes frozen in the shell.
Yes.
It comes peeled and deveined, frozen.
What does that mean, peeled and deveined?
Means the shells are off. The poop vein has been taken out of the back. That's called deveining.
Okay.
It's that little black strip that goes down the back of the shrimp. And then they always leave the tails on. So you have something to grab. And some people will grab that little three-fin tail and pull it off gently. So it's just all shrimp. Now, the different sizes, the size I like to use are U8s, and now all these mean under a pound or under, okay? That means 8 shrimp to a pound. That means they're big suckers. So are the U10s, the U12s, and the 18 to 24s, which is what we use for the shrimp cocktail or U12s at Sanders.
So I don't understand that. When you say U12, is that a size?
Yeah, they're okay. All sizes. The U stands for under, 8 or less to a pound.
Oh, okay. All right. So
the U10 under 10 to a pound, so on and so forth.
Got it. So they
have shrimp now. They're called bay shrimp. And there might be 64 bay shrimp. They're peeled, the veins, they're cooked. They're a salad shrimp. It's when you get a shrimp salad, that's usually what they serve in it. Okay?
Okay.
But what we want to do is two recipes. Where you can take the bacon, you can wrap a piece of, you take the shrimp, if it's a big shrimp now, Then you do a spiral down the shrimp and toothpick it through the shrimp to keep it on from falling off.
I don't understand spiral. What do you mean?
Okay, you've got the fat part of the shrimp, right?
Right.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Somebody just sent me an email. Hey Mac, just curious, would you be airing the inauguration oath and his speech? Yes, I will. So just keep it right here, and you'll hear it here. Kim and I entertain until that happens. Until that time.
And then you're on your own, Mac.
And then I'm on my own. And then Kim's going to watch it. So.
And we'll talk again this afternoon on Mac Talk.
Right. All right. So yes, the other speeches, the vice president swearing in, and I want to say a couple other speeches get made before he takes the oath, and we will certainly have that for you live. So anyway, all right, Kim, I'm sorry to interrupt, but continue.
No, that's cool. Now, anyway, a spiral means you take it could only be, you don't want a thick piece of bacon. You want a normal size piece of bacon, a thin strip. And you pretty much have to cut it in half. And then you take that part, you toothpick it in the shrimp, and then you take the bacon and you spiral it around towards the head of the shrimp, the big fat part. And then you put a toothpick in it there. And then you cook it in a skillet until the bacon's cooked. and then you can
Okay, hold on. So when we say the bacon cooked, you and I disagree on our favorite kinds of bacon, but this bacon should be medium, right? It shouldn't be crisp. No, it should be.
It can be medium.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be crisp because you don't want to overcook the shrimp.
Okay. All right. That's what I was.
You want it to be done. The bacon to be done.
Can I tell you something that I've learned after all these years?
Yes.
I've learned that whatever you're cooking, could be fish, could be meat, could be poultry, it continues to cook after you take it off the grill.
That's right.
How about that?
How about that? And didn't I teach that to you?
We've been doing this show since 2000. I have actually.
You remember? Back. No, I'm so proud of you.
I cooked something for my daughters, and I undercooked it. And then, you know, as we began to got ready to serve it, it was setting, and then it turned out. And I told them, yes. I'm like, this actually happened on purpose. Okay, this is not an accident. I'm so proud of myself. Yeah, I was so proud of myself.
Great,
isn't it?
That's
great. Hey, only took me 16 years.
And you can serve that shrimp that's wrapped in bacon and cook it. You can serve it with a cocktail sauce or a barbecue sauce. Lightly toss it in a barbecue sauce, and then you just have at 'em. It's pretty hard not to eat less than a dozen.
Now, do you have a preference in terms of size? Because good shrimpers are good shrimp. I don't like them too small. I don't like the bite-sized one, especially for something like this. Do you recommend bigger shrimp?
You have to have the bigger shrimp. The little shrimp don't cut it.
The little shrimp don't cut it. I love that.
No. The 12 and 10 and 8 size, that means under 12 to a pound, those are the size you want to use. 10 to a pound, 8 to a pound. And you go into the grocery store and you say, it'll say right on the bag if it's in the freezer section, cooked, peeled, deveined, raw, peeled, and deveined, or raw in shell. And so you have to cook them and shell them. And a lot of times I will take, shrimp that are, shell on and they have not been deveined. And I will take the shells off and then throw the shells in a saucepan with some water, maybe a little bay leaf, some peppercorns, and you bring it to a boil, and you cook the shells down, and you're going to get a shrimp broth.
Ooh.
And right at the end, you can take a little bit of brandy or something and flame those shells. And that gives it a real good flavor, so you can make a sauce with that. But that's a whole nother show.
Okay.
And then with the shrimp, the way I really like to fix it, my favorite way, it's called scampi, S-C-A-M-P-I.
What does that mean?
That's an Italian word for garlic shrimp, baby.
Okay.
And those of you who don't like garlic, turn your radio off, because, man, this is what makes the dish. Now, you take a shrimp that's thawed out or raw. You peel it. You devein it. You split it, not in half, but you open it up and kind of butterfly it. So where the vein was, you split that open a little bit so it butterflies out, and then you rub a little olive oil on those, and then garlic puree. You lather it with garlic puree.
Okay, explain garlic puree to me, because I know.
Okay, you take cloves of garlic.
I know.
Take cloves of garlic.
Right.
And there's two ways you can do it. You can put them in a mortar and pestle and mash them.
Right.
Or if you have a Cuisinart, and I think you can take, say, a dozen cloves of garlic.
Right.
Whole cloves. You peel them. You throw them in there. You throw a few tablespoons, say a half a cup of olive oil in with a dozen garlic bulbs, and then you pulse it. So you chop it, you know, you puree it. You make it not just chunky chop, but it's smooth. Now, you can pulse it to where it's not smooth, or you can just put them on a board and dice them, mince them. Mince them as fine as you can with a chef knife, and then mix it with olive oil. And then lather these shrimp up that have been butterflied, and then you heat the pan, and use any skillet you want, and then you put the shrimp in with the garlic side down and the little olive oil in the pan. Not a lot, but a little olive oil in the pan. And then you flip the shrimp over. And, I mean, we're talking a couple of minutes, a minute aside, depending on the size of the shrimp. But it's got to be a hot skillet. And then you take a half a cup of white wine, and you pour it over the shrimp mixture, and it'll flame up. And then you pull the shrimp out and put them on the plate, and then you let that reduce a little bit, and then you take a heaping tablespoon of butter, and the heat's turned off on this after the flame dies. You just turn the heat off. It's plenty hot enough. And you take a heaping tablespoon of butter, and you whisk it in. And get up all the bits and pieces of garlic that have been left on the pan. And so you have a sauce. And you pour that over the shrimp. And you usually serve that with rice. And there you have it. And you can serve it with like a angel hair pasta or a spaghetti, a thickness pasta. Angel hair is thinner, hence angel hair.
Right.
One of those two pastas, and I don't like linguine. I don't like the noodle that big for this dish.
Okay.
And that's it, and that's all you have to do. But it's a last-minute preparation.
Scampi.
You can have everything laid out. You can take those shrimp. You can prep them, put the garlic on them, sit them in the fridge, do your steak, and then when the sauce, then you pull it out, the shrimp out, and then you cook the shrimp. You don't want to cook the shrimp first because the steak takes too long and your shrimp will be cold and rubbery.
All right.
Okay.
Got it. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what kind of steak we talk about. I thought it was filet mignon, but no.
Something it's filet mignon, but we're going to do a peppercorn sauce.
Okay.
Which is the ultimate. peppercorn sauce.
All right. All right. You're listening to All Marine Radio here on a Friday, getting ready to bring you live coverage of the inauguration, both the president-elect's oath as he becomes president of the United States and his inauguration speech. So we'll do that. And then the Gunner will join us here on a Friday edition, an inauguration edition, the first time we've ever done that here on All Marine Radio. So sit back, relax, spend the morning with us. Thanks for doing that. And more of All Food Radio coming up next.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do. And I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
General Sergeant Gnarly Ermey here with important information for veterans. At 2,600 American job centers nationwide, veteran and transitioning military personnel can find help with career counseling, resumes, and job placement. You want more information, don't you? The Department of Labor offers a variety of programs to help our military heroes find good jobs or continue their education. What are you waiting for?
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to Mac Talk on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All Marine Radio on a Friday. in an inauguration version, we continue. And the president-elect has reached the Capitol and is taking his seat. And, you know, I don't, and it's interesting because I know Kim's watching as well. And it's, I don't, I mean, can you imagine walking out of the Capitol as to be sworn in as the president of the United States? No matter how long and hard you've fought for that, I mean, it must be a, an incredible experience to walk out of there and know that you're going to leave the United States. Finally, after all this, you walk out of this hallowed place and to all these people that are assembled, and you will be inaugurated as the 46th president of the United States? Is he the 46th?
Yes.
Wow.
45th.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing stuff. Anyway, all right, let's we got about I don't know, maybe about 8 minutes. Let's talk about filet mignon. How do we do it?
Okay. You take your filet mignon, 8 ounce, you get the filet to room temperature.
Right.
And this is what I'm going to do for just one filet. But you just anyway, you take a cast iron skillet, you put it on the stove, put your fan on, and get it as hot as you can. And then you take this steak, you rub it with olive oil, and then cracked pepper. And you cover it the top, the bottom, the sides, all the way around. This is called a pepper steak.
Okay.
Okay? So, but when I use the word steak, I mean filet.
Got it.
And your butcher will cut you a center cut filet, not a side, a center cut. And then you cook it all the way around. And you cook it to where you're one temperature way below what you want it to be at the end when you serve it. So if you want a rare, you get it as high as you can, and it's called a black and blue, which means you char everything as severely as you can, and all the sides, top and the bottom. Okay? But in this case, say we want to do a medium rare, which is usually the case.
Okay.
So you're going to cook this to just below medium rare, just at the high end of rare, and before you slide into medium rare. Then once it's done, you take a 1 ounce of brandy, cognac, and remember, folks, when you cook with booze or wine, the better the booze or wine, the better the dish. You've heard it here. You flame that with the brandy. The flame will come up pretty high, and then it'll burn itself out because the alcohol burns. Then you take the filet, you wrap it in in aluminum foil, and set it in a warm place. Then you take a tablespoon of green peppercorns per filet, and you throw them in the cast iron skillet. And then you add a half a cup of heavy whipping cream per steak. You whisk that all together, and you reduce it by half. And then you take the steak that's in the foil, you drain the juices that form in the bottom of that foil from the steak while it was resting. You add those into the sauce. You whisk it. The sauce will darken because, number one, it's in a cast iron, and that'll create a darker sauce. And then the juices from the steak. And then you put the steak in there, you turn it over a couple of times, and then you put it on the plate, and then you pour the sauce over the steak. And that's it, baby.
That's it.
Enjoy.
All right. All right. I am going to let you go so that you can go watch the inauguration. But I appreciate you coming on today and sharing your thoughts and memories from the inauguration. And I will talk to you later.
Yeah. Glorious day. Thank you, Mac.
No, thanks for doing this. That is my hetero life partner, as he tells people, and the official Almarine Radio chef. When we come back, we'll hear the swearing in of the president elect, and we'll hear his speech. So more of Almarine Radio on a Friday coming up next.
.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
United States of America.
For America's wounded warriors, sometimes coming home can be a battle in itself. Every one of them needs our support to meet the challenges they face every day. The USO provides Americans a way to offer that support to our wounded warriors and their families. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives by donating today. The USO.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our way of living, our quality of life? The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.